Thank you, Rabbi Glasser, Rishus, Rabbi, the Shei Yeshiva, the Fenner, Rabbi Blau, Tzibor. When this program was being discussed a few months ago, so the joke was made that this part of the program sounds like it's sponsored by YU Connect, an introduction to Nushin. Of course, in reality, no actual women will be introduced, but even in concept, it's a little bit misleading, because Seder Nushin is not really about women in the individual sense, but rather in the sense of Keres Habayis, in the sense of Ishto Zobeso. The whole Seder is really not about females, but about families. And it gives us a picture of what the Torah has in mind for a family structure. And if we look briefly at the various Masechtos in Seder Nushim, so we see how that message comes across. And we'll start a few comments about Masechtos Yevamos. I'd like to take this opportunity to dedicate these comments as a chus for Refuah Shleima from my father, who hasn't been so well the past few months, and who with his writings has done much to teach about the importance and the significance of Masechtos Yevamos. So Masechtos Yevamos begins with a list of relationships, which is appropriate, because the Masechta is really about what it means to be related. The Masechta is primarily named after the mitzvah in the Torah of Yibum, which addresses a situation where if you have a man who, Rachmana Litzlan, passes away without any children, but he has a brother, so the brother is obligated to marry the widow, to marry his sister-in-law, in the hope that they will have a child who can carry on the name of the deceased husband. And right off the bat, so we have two different aspects of being related that are in conflict with each other. On the one hand, the sister-in-law, the widow, and the brother-in-law are really related to each other. That's an erva. They're not supposed to be married. But on the other hand, there's another relationship that's involved. And that's the relationship between the two brothers. The relationship one brother has to his deceased brother and the obligation he has to him. And the Chassam Sofer writes in his Chidushim to Chumash, in the Torah's Moshe to Parshas Kiseitze, that this mitzvah comes to show us the great importance of Gemilas Chasadim, of being there to give, to help, to those who are especially those who are closest to us, and therefore the Torah embeds in the very concept of Erva, in the very concept of Gilui Arayos, an exclusion when there is primary chesed taking place, apparently it becomes permitted. So we have this obligation to be there on behalf of a relative, and it's such a powerful obligation. The Gemara tells us there's a concept, it's a debated concept called Zika, that there is already a relationship between the widow and the brother-in-law. It's a whole discussion in the Achronim exactly what the relationship is based on. Rav Yosef Engel and his Asman Dereis and others discuss this, different models. Is it the idea that the original marriage continues into the brother, or is it that the brother and the sister-in-law have a new marriage that's created by the mitzvah, or is it something in between? Whatever it is, there is some existing relationship already between the two, where Yibum essentially would be a formality then to bring them together. And if that doesn't happen, then the woman is prohibited to anyone else, unless there is the alternative of chalitza. There is this ritual, which is also a commitment in the Torah, and also discussed in Masechtos Yevamos, to allow the woman to marry somebody else. So one might come to the conclusion that chalitza is only a matir, is only something that's there in order to allow the woman to marry another person. But the Achronim debated this, and the Oneg Yontif has a tshuva in Siman Kuf Ayin Vav, where he rejects this idea, and he assumes that it's not simply a matir, but it's a mitzvah, that there is a chiyuv, even if the woman is not interested in marrying anyone else, there has to be either yibum or chalitza, but one of them has to take place. And the Maran Shik has a tshuva. The Maran Shik was one of the great students of the Chassam Sofer, so he has a tshuva in Or HaChaim in Siman Kuf Nun Gimel, where he discusses how this package, yibum and chalitza, transmits a very important message of the value system of the Torah. That on the one hand, he says there are three parts to this message. First of all, on the one hand, there is the notion that the most primal desire that a person has is to pass on the Mesorah, to pass on the tradition to a future generation. Then, secondly, if one is deprived of that opportunity, if one dies without any children, so then his closest relatives, his brother, those who are closest to him, have an obligation to step in and to help in any way that they can, to be there in the most personal way to provide assistance to this deceased brother. And third, that this must be done only for completely pure motives, only with a complete attitude of lishma. And that's why we find the notion in Maseches Yevamos as well, on Daf Lamed Tes, that intent is much more important than it is by other concepts. In general, we have a machlokas, whether we say mitzvot strichos kavano or not. But when it comes to Yibum, so Abba Shaul is quoted as saying that if one would get involved in Yibum for anything other than the purest of motives, then it's close to being a Gili Arayis. It goes back to the Avera status. It doesn't have the mitzvah at all, which is why nowadays we don't really see Yibum so much, especially in Ashkenazi circles, that we assume we don't have the proper intent, we don't have the purity of motive, and Chalitza is invoked more commonly instead. But the notion is there that it has to be either Yibum or Chalitza in order to convey the importance of these messages, as the Maharam Shik points out. And he goes on to suggest that these messages together are really the legacy of Avraham Avinu, the legacy that he gave to his descendants, because the Pasuk says in Parshas Lech Lecha that after Avraham rescues his nephew Lot, so the king of Sodom offers him a reward, and Avraham says, I'm not interested in any reward. In the chut v'ad trochnal, I'm not interested in anything, not in a thread, not in a shoelace. And the Medrash, the Gemara has a different comment on this, but the Medrash in Bereishis Rabba and elsewhere says that the reward for this statement, that Avraham says he's not interested in even a shoe strap, is that his descendants have the mitzvah of chalitza, which involves a shoe, they have the mitzvah of yibum and chalitza. That's the reward for this statement. So what's the connection? What does one have to do with the other? So Maharam Shik says, here you see this attitude, that Avraham says, I'm here to rescue my nephew, I'm here for my family, I'll do anything for my relatives, and I don't want any reward. That's all I'm thinking about, I'm here for that purpose. That's the attitude that's passed down to his descendants. So the Gemara tells us as well in Maseches Yevamos and Daf Ayin Tes that if you want to know who's a descendant of Avraham Avinu, so you look to see who has a quality of being a Gomel Chesed, who has other things as well, but who has this attribute of being kind and giving to those closest, especially, and also to everyone else. That's an indication that they're a descendant of Avraham Avinu. And throughout the Masechta, we find many different reflections of this idea of identity, of caring for someone in a way that is very personal, especially when you're related to the person, of feeling this complete sense of identity and connectedness, including in the relationship of marriage. So the Gemara tells us on Daf Samach Beis that the way one is obligated to love one's wife, ohev es ishto kigufo, that he should love his wife as himself, umachabda yosu migufo, and he should respect his wife even more than he respects himself. So one could ask, okay, so you should love her as yourself, why do you have to respect her more? It should be enough to respect her as yourself. And it seems that the idea is that men and women have different needs when it talks about respect, when you want to consider how to be treated. So there are differences between men and women, and if the husband's going to think that, okay, I'll respect my wife the same way that I want to be respected, so there's a good chance he's aiming too low. It's a good chance that he's not really going to get it. So if he aims a little bit higher, if he has in mind that I'll think of what I want and I'll go a little bit beyond that, so then maybe there's a good chance that he'll respect her on the appropriate level. But at the core, it's an identity idea that he should love his wife the same way he loves himself. And that's again a theme that we find throughout Maseches Yevamos, that that's what relationship is about. So the halachas of Geirus are also in Maseches Yevamos from Daf Mem Hei on, and the Gemara tells us if you want to join the family of Klal Yisrael, you want to become a Jew, that means become a part of the family and identify completely with the Torah of the Jewish people and the history of the Jewish people, and pass that on to the next generation. So the halachas of Pru Rvu are also in Maseches Yevamos on Daf Samach Beis. We have this theme throughout of identity and relationship, and not only with people but also with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The relationship of HaKadosh Baruch Hu was one of the major themes as well, and so we find in the first parak with all of these gemaras about Yibum that the backdrop is the halacha called Aseh Do Chalos Aseh, that if there's a clash between a positive mitzvah and a negative mitzvah, under some circumstances the positive mitzvah takes priority. And the Ramban writes in his commentary to Chumash that this has to do with two different components of our relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That on the one hand we have an obligation of Avas Hashem, that we love God and we show that through doing positive mitzvos. On the other hand, we have an obligation of Yiras Hashem, we revere God and we show that by abstaining from negative mitzvos. So if there's a conflict, if we have to choose one, so Avas Hashem is often going to take priority over Yiras Hashem, but it's a balance. We have to figure out exactly how to keep the two in balance. And we find other concerns as well about the relationship towards HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So the Gemara tells us on Daf Chaf Aleph in Yevamos, Ushmartim es Mishmarti, Esu Mishmeres Mishmarti, that we have an obligation to protect our relationship with the Torah and with HaKadosh Baruch Hu through the safeguards, through Takanas Chazal, that the rabbis are given the authority to protect the Torah with extra fences, with extra rules, so much so that the Gemara says later, on Daf Tzadi, that Yeshkoch, Echachamim, Lakar Dovrim, and HaTorah, at least B'sheva Altase, that Chazal have the authority, when necessary, to protect the Torah, to even contradict the Torah, so to speak, to say, for example, we don't blow shofar on Shabbos. If it's Rosh Hashanah falls out on Shabbos, we don't blow shofar. And there's a famous essay by Rabbi Elchanan Wasserman trying to figure out exactly what this is about. And one of his possibilities is that when Chazal make this rule, it essentially rewrites the halacha, and now there's no longer a mitzvah to blow shofar on Rosh Hashanah if it happens to be Shabbos, that the efforts to protect the Torah become a part of the Torah itself. And this is all geared towards protecting our relationship with the Kaddish Baruch Hu. And the mitzvahs ben Adam l'chaveru that we find as well in Maseches Yevamos also all go to this principle of unity and identity. So for example, in the end of the first parak of Yevamos and Daf Yedalit, so there is a discussion of the prohibition of losis godadu. It's a pasuk in Parshas Re'eh, which the Gemara interprets a little bit differently to tell us that we can't have divergent halachic practices within one geographical area. You can't have visible halachic differences. This is one of the primary issues coming up, Chol HaMoed and Tefillin, the one of the big discussion about the prohibition of losis godadu. So Rashi writes over there that the concern is it shouldn't look like two Torahs. It shouldn't look like we follow two different religions. But the Rambam and Hilchos Avodah Zarah and Perek Yudbeis, Halacha Yudalit, the Rambam and the Sefer HaChinuch and others understand that it's about machlokes, that we're afraid that we're going to have fights. If we have division in practice, people are going to fight with each other. We don't want that to happen. That would undermine the unity of Klal Yisrael. And this machlokes leads the poskim to discuss, the Netziv and many others have tshuvas about whether this prohibition applies to Minhagim. And when it comes to a minig, so maybe we're not concerned about the appearance of two Torahs. But as far as machlokes, as we know, there are many machlokes that can come from Minhagim, can come from anything. So we have to worry about that even in regards to a minig in order to protect the unity of Klal Yisrael. The Gemara on Daf Samachay also talks about the concept of tochacha, about rebuke. And rebuke, we have a complicated attitude, because on the one hand, the Torah tells us we have a mitzvah to try to set somebody straight if he's doing the wrong thing. But on the other hand, the Gemara also tells us that we're not so good at it nowadays. We don't know how to do it effectively. And both of those are two different halves of the coin of the identity idea. As the Rambam points out in Hilchos Deis, in Perek Vav Halacha Zayin, that tochacha comes from a sense of identification. It comes from the fact that you feel so connected to someone else that you feel responsible for what they do. But that also has to come across in how you say it. It shouldn't look like I'm yelling at you, but it looks like I care so much. I'm the same as you, so therefore what happens to you is going to happen to me as well. And nowadays we're not so good at transmitting the message that way. We're not so connected to the identity principle, so it gets lost. So we have a problem doing tochacha properly nowadays. But again, it comes back to the identity principle. And to give another example from that Masechta, also on Daf Samachay, the Gemara says that it's mutter l'shanos b'fnei hasholem, maybe it's even a mitzvah, it's a machlokas in the Gemara, that it's permissible or even obligatory to stretch the truth in an instance of shalom to preserve harmony. And there's a whole discussion as to what exactly that's based on. Is it based on a redefinition of what emes and sheker means? Or is it because the priority of shalom, as the Rama writes in his Shuvas and Siman Yud Aleph and many Achronim wrote after that, that shalom is such a priority it outweighs many other mitzvos? And some explain it's based on the idea the Medrash has that the Pasuk says in Tehillim, Bakei Shalom V'Radfehu, we have to chase after shalom. So the Medrash says when it comes to mitzvahs, we don't find that you have to chase after a mitzvah. If the opportunity is here, so you're obligated. If it's not, we don't find that you have to become obligated. But when it comes to shalom, you have to chase after it. And many of the Achronim explain that we can't do all the mitzvahs ourselves, but we're part of Klal Yisrael. So we're part of an entity that's doing all the mitzvahs, and we're all related, we're all connected. So all the mitzvahs are happening on our behalf. But that's assuming that there's shalom. That's assuming that we're all together in one entity. So therefore, Bakei Shalom V'Radfehu, that becomes an obligation that we have to chase after. That unity is something that we have to hold on to. So Maseches Yevamos directs us to this idea of relationship as identity, as absolute connection, and telling us the fact that we have to manifest that in how we behave towards each other. And then we get into Maseches Ksubis. Ksubis takes it to the next level. Ksubis tells us that not only are we related, but we also try to create a household. We try to create a larger entity. So Maseches Ksubis deals largely, the yeshiva has this list of learning Maseches Ksubis this year, that Ksubis talks about the obligation specifically between a husband and wife, focusing primarily on the obligation of a ksuba, that the husband has to accept an obligation towards his wife at the time of marriage of all the things he's going to provide on her behalf. And it's a machlokas in the Gemara throughout Maseches Ksubis and in the Rishonim as well, whether this is an obligation in HaTorah. Tosfos on Daf Yud quotes Rabbeinu Tam that the ksuba that we have today is an obligation min haTorah, and most of the other Rishonim understood that really it's an obligation midrabanan. It seems to be at somewhere in between. It's clear that it's based on the Torah, and that Chazal expanded on the idea. This seems to be pshat in the Rambam, that the Rambam throughout Mishneh Torah accepts the view that ksuba is drabanan, but when he formulates the mitzvah of marriage and sefer mitzvah, he includes ksuba apparently as part of the mitzvah min haTorah. And it seems that we have a continuum, that there is a core obligation min haTorah of how spouses are supposed to treat each other, and Chazal gave more details to that and fleshed that out with a little bit more of a severity to it for a couple of purposes. The Gemara says Chazal did this that a man shouldn't be too quick to divorce his wife, he shouldn't be casual about that, instead it should be a serious relationship, and that relationship should have substance. This is how we create a household, that there are reciprocal obligations, everyone has a part to play, not only within the family but in the larger community as well. And that's why we find also in Maseches Ksubos many of the details of tzedakah. So the Gemara in Daf Samach Zayin talks about the obligation of Dei Machsoro, that we have an obligation of tzedakah to be there for someone who has a financial downfall and is not able to support themselves at the level that they were once accustomed to. We have to try to get them back, even when it's just an emotional need and it's not really a material need, we still have to be there for them. And the Rama writes in Yeridei in Siman Reish Nun that it's such an overwhelming obligation, it can't be a personal obligation, it must be a communal obligation. The community together has to look out for these individuals, and at the same time we have to keep it in balance. So the Gemara says earlier in Ksubas and Daf Nun that Chazal made a takana that we shouldn't give too much stock away, we shouldn't give away more than a fifth, because we might become impoverished and we won't be able to support ourselves. To keep everything in balance, we have to know how much stock to give and how much to hold back, and that theme of balance is really what Maseches Nedarim is about. Maseches Nedarim talks about the concept of undertaking a commitment. If you say something, so that becomes binding, that tells you something that you can't do or be connected with, or something that you're obligated to do. And even if you don't say it, even if it's just a hanhaga tova, if it's a good practice you take on, that also becomes binding. So in fact, the founder of Daf Yomi, Rav Meir Shapiro, in his Tshuvas Or HaMeir, has a tshuva about whether or not Daf Yomi has the status of a neder. If one learns Daf Yomi, maybe that should also be an obligation that one should continue to do. And it sounds like, in general, the Darim are good things, that it's an aspiration, that it shows that you're trying to hold yourself to a higher standard, and that seems like it's something good. But the Gemara has an ambivalent attitude, and the Gemara tells us on Daf Chav Beis that if somebody takes a neder, it's as if he built a bama, it's as if he built a personal mizbeach in his backyard, which is prohibited, and even if he keeps the neder, it's not any better, that's as if he sacrificed on the bama, that's as if he actually brought a korban on this prohibited mizbeach in his backyard. The Ran over there says has to do with the balance of the Torah is perfect, and you're not supposed to add on to it, lo da'ilcha masha asra Torah. So just like a bama is an additional thing, it looks good, but it's not really permitted, so to a neder is in the same category. The Maharal says it a little bit differently. The Maharal says that this can cause divisions between people, that even though it's good maybe on a personal level, but it's going to separate the noder from other people, and maybe that's not so good. Just like a bama in your backyard will keep you from having to join the tzibur in the Beis HaMikdash, so too the neder can keep you away from others, and that has a cost, and we have to figure out whether that cost is legitimate or not, although sometimes it's necessary in order to protect our relationships. And that's how Nazir and Sota end up following Maseches Nedarim, that the first daf in Nazir says that if somebody witnesses a Sota, if somebody sees the trial of an alleged adulteress, so then he should be inspired to take on more commitments, to stay away from intoxicating substances, so he shouldn't come to such types of loose behavior. Haroa Sota Bekukula Yazir Atzum and Hayayin. So sometimes a neder, a commitment like that, is necessary to protect the relationship. So we have to figure out the balance, and that's how Maseches Nedarim ends up, bringing us right back to Ksubas with Perek Naira Hamurasa, which focuses on the fact that if you have, let's say, a married woman or a girl living in her father's house and she wants to take Nedarim, so those Nedarim have an impact on the rest of the family, and the father or the husband has a say in this as well, because the Neder is a personal commitment, but it has an impact on the unit that you're a part of, and that's also something that has to be taken into consideration. So with those introductions, so we're almost ready to get married, but not yet, before we have Maseches Kedushin, so we have Maseches Gittin. And it seems a little bit funny that the tractate that's about marriage comes after the tractate that's about divorce. Gittin comes first, and the cynical line they say is a hikdim refuah lamaka, that the remedy is given before the illness, that we have Gittin before Kedushin. But in a sense, perhaps it's true, perhaps there is a message that's being conveyed here, that if we want to forestall Gerushin, if we want to make sure that a marriage is going to last, so we first have to be warned, we first have to have a cautionary experience of learning Maseches Gittin, which tells us about how fragile the relationship is and how the relationship can fall apart, and therefore there is a need to be aware of that. And the Gemara says in the last daf in Gittin, getting right before you go into Kiddushin, that Hamagarish Ishto Rishona, if someone divorces his first wife, Afilu Mizbeach, Morita loved the most. That even the Mizbeach, even the altar, cries for him. And the Balin Musar explained, the Mizbeach represents sacrifice. And a marriage requires sacrifice. And sometimes if there's a divorce, it's because there was a lack of commitment to sacrifice. It could be other things as well. Maybe it was never meant to be. But at the very least, we know that a marriage requires sacrifice. And the Gemara, in essence, is warning us about that before we get involved in Maseches Kedushin, that we have to know that this is a very fragile structure and there has to be a proactive attitude towards maintaining harmony. So in Maseches Gittin, you also find the takanos that are there, Mishum Tikkun Olam, the different measures that are put into place in order to preserve social harmony, in order to make sure people do the right thing. We recognize that sometimes we have to take a proactive measure to make sure that will be protected. And in essence, that perhaps is really the message that Maseches Gittin is really conveying. And then finally, with all of that introduction, so now we're ready to get married. Now we get to Maseches Kedushin, which is about the marriage itself, about the act of the marriage, which is represented in halacha by a kinyan, by a transaction. And that's what much of the beginning of Kedushin is about. And it provokes a lot of controversy because people get the impression, okay, so you see in Jewish law, what happens is a man buys his wife and she's like property. That's the kinyan Kedushin. We don't really think that's what it's about. The Rambam explains in Mishneh Torah that really it's a different idea, that the notion is that the Torah wants that if a man and woman are going to have a relationship, so that has to be taken seriously. That has to be done with commitment. That shouldn't be something that's casual. So if a man is interested in a relationship with a woman, he has to first commit. He has to first become related and express seriousness and say that I recognize, I learned all the first Masechtas and Seder Nashim and I understand what this involves. And now I'm ready to commit to you fully and to become related. So we have an expression of seriousness. So we look through halacha. Where do we find seriousness in halacha? With kinyanim, with transactions. If somebody wants to buy something, so he has to express seriousness. So we have a whole host of mechanisms called kinyanim to express seriousness. So if we're looking to express seriousness in this relationship, so we use that mechanism of a kinyan in order to say that we're serious, that we want this to be a full relationship. And that's what Maseches Kedushin teaches us as far as how the marriage happens in the first place. And then when we get to the end, we get to the last half of the last Masechta in Seder Nashim. So now we finally find out the secret, what everything is all about. So the Gemara tells us on Daf Mem Aleph, so how do you know in the Torah that you're obligated to love your wife? How do you know, in addition to all of this, most of what we discussed is in Parshas Kisetze. How do you know in the Torah there's an obligation to love your wife? That's not from Kisetze. That's from Parshas Kedoshim. It's a very famous pasuk. The Torah says, V'yahavta l'reicha kamocha. That famous principle, that same mitzvah, that's the mitzvah that teaches you that you have to love your wife. So on the one hand, it reflects again this identity principle, V'yahavta l'reicha kamocha, that you should love your wife as yourself. But it's also surprising because that's the same mitzvah that applies to all of us. That's why we have to love everyone. So apparently the Gemara is telling us that that same mitzvah that teaches us how to relate to people, it teaches us how to relate even to those closest to us, even to the most intimate and personal relationship. That's simply a more intense version of the relationship that we all have to each other. It just carries its own more intense obligations, but it's all a reflection of the same identity value idea. So with that framework, the Gemara a little bit earlier in the end, first parak can talk about unique relationships, specific relationships, the mitzvahs ha'aval ha'bein, the obligations a father has towards his children, the mitzvahs of kibud av v'eim, the obligations children have towards their parents, the mitzvahs aseh shazman grama, which may also be a reflection of the family structure of a wife and mother. All of this can be discussed in this context of this notion of v'yahavta l'reicha kamocha, teaching us how we have to relate to everyone through the prism of our most personal, our closest relationships that are about this idea of identity. So essentially, with all this, when we know all this, so then we're ready to get married. Then we can call in YU Connects and we can introduce actual men to actual women. When we have these principles that Maseches Yevamos tells us that a relationship means identity, and that carries with it very strong obligations of chesed in the purest form. But we have Maseches Ksubis, which teaches us about how to build a household and how to build a community. Maseches Nedarim with Nazar and Sota, which teach us how to keep our own personal aspirations within the balance of the larger klal. Gittin, which warns us about the fragility of the relationships that we enter into and how they have to be proactively protected. And then Kiddushin, which tells us how to form this most intense personal relationship through the prism of all of that and with a seriousness that reflects knowing all of that, that becomes the mentality with which we enter into Kiddushin, that most focused of relationship, and that should serve as a model for all of our relationships. Daf Yomi is a wonderful program, not only because it allows so much Torah to be studied, not only because it creates Harbatzas HaTorah on such a broad level, but it does it in a way that connects us. It does it in a way that emphasizes the relationship of the Jewish people all around the world, that creates this sense of unity in such a powerful way through such a powerful tool. And it's a tremendous chus that we have starting today that we're able now to study the Seder, which is all about how we're meant to relate to each other through the prism of Chazal and HaKadosh Baruch Hu, through the wisdom of the Torah in the purest sense, and in a way that connects us in such a fundamental way. And now we have the bracha of Vayu Torah, which connects us even more, which creates bonds that are even stronger, and all across the world we're learning the daf together. It's a tremendous opportunity, it's a tremendous bracha, and we should only merit to have continued simcha such as this shared together as a family of Lomdei Torah. Mazel Tov.